he said, she said, or technically speaking and simply put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
Hello, everyone out there in SNU land. It's He Said, She Said, January 2018. Looking out the window here in Vernon, it is snowing to beat the band.
Yep, it sure is. And if you're into the snow, then this is the place to be in the Great White North. However, that's not my cup of tea. I'd rather be laying on a beach right now. I'm not a snow bunny. Although I used to be when I was a kid, of course, you know, sleigh riding and snowshoeing and cross-country skiing and a little bit of downhill. And snow was fun. You used to look so forward to it when you're a kid. But as you get older and you're not into the snow, then it's just a pain in the hoo-ha.
Yeah, it can be. I was speaking to a fellow in the gym the other day about skiing at Silver Star. He says that Silver Star is one of the best ski places in Canada, ranked very high. Apparently the snow quality is good, but yeah, a lot of people come here in the winter to take advantage of that. Another couple I know at the gym, they're seniors. They fly all the way from Toronto to spend 3-4 months here every year. And I just saw them the other day again. So they're back for that skiing that they love.
Wow. And you and I really aren't skiers. So we went up to see what a day pass, $100 for a day pass. And then we got to rent the skis and everything. So you really got to be into skiing because it's quite an expensive sport unless you have all the gear. Great. That's what you love to do. Here is the place to be to do it, people.
Well, if it's beautiful and sunny and relatively warm, like I'm not one of these minus 20 kind of diehard skiers. I like it to be sunny and warm and not snowing, beautiful conditions, which I've experienced at Lake Louise and, you know, Mount Baker and Whistler and all that. That is pretty hard to beat when you're up there and getting that fresh air and nice kind of sensation skiing.
Absolutely. But there's always après-ski. Après-ski is very fun, sitting by the fireplace in your mucklucks and having some kind of hot drink with some appetizers. Now, that's what I call living in the snow.
I think you better inform our young people what a muckluck is, dear.
It's kind of a boot. It's made of leather, suede. It's a kind of an Indian fringed boot, a mucklucks.
Sort of an Inuit, almost like a seal-lined boot, right? They used to be very common and popular, when we were younger, in the 70s, maybe in the 60s?
They were hot. We should bring them back. I think they're still popular now.
Yeah. I haven't seen anybody wearing them.
No. But anyways, there you go.
Okay, so what's cooking?
So what's cooking is protein butter balls. Now, these were a real hit over the holidays. I don't usually make sweets, but I just kind of felt like it this year. And these butter balls don't take up any time at all. So what I did is I used almond butter and cashew butter, whey protein isolate, and then I tried it with hemp protein, some unpasteurized honey, raw pumpkin seeds. It's a really healthful, sweet snack treat that is also beneficial and good for you. So that's kind of cool. One of the things that you can do is, I didn't know what to name them. I thought you can call them like a cashew butter ball, a peanut butter ball, but I don't use too much peanut butter. I just find the peanut butter is a little too acidic. Whereas you can use macadamia nut, you can almond, like I said, almond, cashew, any other kind of nuts and seeds, but it's up to you, whatever you want to use. You can make these little balls bigger or smaller. You can add whatever you like to them. I always doubled the recipe. We are going to put this recipe on the website, so it will be there. But just to start with, this makes one batch, which is about 10 to 12 balls. And it's about 3/4 cup of nut butter, 1/4 cup of honey, liquid honey, 1 scoop of protein powder, any kind you like, 1/2 cup of pumpkin seeds, and 1/2 cup of carob chips. Carob chips or unsweetened chocolate chips or not sugar-free chocolate chips, something like that. Now, you don't have to add the pumpkin seeds and you don't have to add the carob chips, so that's all optional. You want to mix all these ingredients in a bowl with your hands. I always think it's good to get your hands in there rather than a spatula or a spoon. And then once everything's all mixed up nice, then you want to form them into like 1-inch balls and roll them up roll them up nice, and then place them on a baking sheet and then refrigerate them for a couple of hours until they get harder. And then you want to transfer these into a covered container. And voila, like if you are really into a sweet treat, I'd say two or three of these will satisfy you. Right, Corey? Or how many did you have?
Well, I got the munchies one night and I think I had about six.
And that was enough. But they're not very big. You just pop them in your mouth, right?
Oh, they're delicious, you know, yeah. And they're high in fat, right? Like you're calling them protein butter balls, but and of course we're adding the nice whey protein isolate in, which is a nice touch. But the pumpkin seeds, and whether it's a mix of cashew and almond or one or the other, that's all high fat too. So really they're high fat. So they've got a very low glycemic index, even with the honey added, which is kind of nice. So I felt really good. It didn't disturb my sleep. In fact, I had a great sleep after having a few of your balls.
Well, notice what I call them protein butter balls. So butter, fat, so the protein butter in balls. So that's why I call the butter, because, I mean, you did say they were really high in fat. So hence the name, right? Because they didn't know what to call them. Because I found this recipe and I thought, well, there's just not enough stuff in here. The recipe that I saw for them had rolled oats in them. And I didn't want to put rolled oats in them. Although I did buy some organic, non-gluten or gluten-free rolled oats. And I just thought, you know what, that's not, I don't even need to put those in. So then you just kind of create them and make them up yourself. Hence the name Butterball. They're butter balls. There you go, butter balls.
Well, we even went to the health food store and ground the almonds and the cashews ourselves. Like they had those grinding machines.
Yeah.
So we got that nice, fresh nut ground butter, right? Which is actually the best way to eat nuts and seeds, really. Traditionally, in many cultures, they grind them and then work them into their cooking. Or yeah. You don't even need to cook these things. This is a recipe you don't even have to cook.
Yeah, everything's raw. And then you want to use like the unpasteurized honey, as I said, and also the raw pumpkin seeds. That gives them a nice crunch. And then when you use the carob or you use the unsweetened sugar-free chocolate chips, then you get a little bite of chocolate. And it's just the whole thing. I used a crunchy, I made sure there was a little bit of a crunch in the almond or the cashew. So you got a little crunch of the peanut in there as well. So it was really nice. Very, very, I mean, yeah, they're really good, but you know, the trouble is you eat them and they're really heavy, so I'm going to not make them too often. But, you know, all those ingredients you can just have in the fridge, and if you have company coming over, they're really a nice little dessert to have, you know, after a big meal. You can have, like, just like if you're having a coffee or a glass of wine, you sit down after, get away from the table, and then have these. Now, what I also did, I made them so many times, I got really creative with them. One time, I made them exactly like this recipe, but then I rolled them in cocoa powder. Remember those ones I made?
Yeah, they were good.
What that was very, you know, that dark cocoa, the raw cocoa is very bitter. But then you get into chewing it, then it makes it really sweet and chewy and yummy. So there's different things to how you can make them. So you can just get really, really creative with these. But they really are they're number one. I'm sold on them. I'm really excited about this new little sweet treat.
Yeah, and make sure that when you buy the pumpkin seeds, they're raw, not roasted and salted like many of them are. They almost look the same when you look at them. They're both grain, but you got to make sure that they're raw. And also the honey. We buy here locally this Canadian honey, and they came out, and it's liquid. We like the liquid because it's nice to add to shakes, etc. But they just moved it from an unpasteurized to a pasteurized, so we're not buying that one anymore. So make sure that the honey you buy is unpasteurized and raw. Doesn't matter so much if you cook with it, although it's still better to use honey than sugar. But the raw honey gives you the enzymes and gives you a lot of the intrinsic factors that are destroyed by heat that make honey so revolutionary and a tremendous healing factor.
Absolutely. So that will be on our website up and ready to go this week.
Right on. Good stuff. Okay, who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest interview was Mr. Sylvain Cyr. Sylvain is an elite personal trainer, a genetic exercise analyst, a course conductor and exam preparation tutor. His list of personal training credentials is extremely extensive. So please look onto our website for more of Sylvain's bio. This was part two of a series of interviews with Sylvain. This particular one was about nutrition. You talked more about nutrition, although you did talk about personal training. But the first thing that he said that I found very interesting, and it is so true, is that nutrition is the elephant in the room, which I find interesting. Because, you know, it's like you said, nutrition or what people eat is like a religion. So you condemn somebody for what they're eating, or you make a comment about what they're eating, or you be the food police. You can lose friendships over this, and people don't want you hanging around. They don't want to invite you to dinner parties. And we watch that show, Come Dine With Me, or I watch that show. I watch a lot of cooking shows. The show called Come Dine With Me, where these five people get together and they each make a dinner consecutively, five nights in a row. And I tell you, some people are really, really hard on each other about how they make their food and how they cook their food. A lot of them don't really discuss the food and how they prepare it and what they put in it and the love and attention and the ingredients. But yeah, it certainly is the elephant in the room.
Yep. And it's something that we should talk about. And there are a number of topics that people should talk about more commonly, but they don't. They hide, they run away, or they just dismiss them as being unimportant. And it's more, you know, common to talk about the weather or the latest car trends or, you know, who's traveling where or whatever. But, you know, nutrition really gets to the point. It gets down to where we live and, you know, what we buy, how we make it, where we go. People don't often want to talk about that because they're embarrassed or they're shy. Or they know they're off the wall or, you know, off track. They have disordered eating or eating disorder. So they don't want to get into that. It's like talking to someone about their background, their lifestyle or, you know, their family life, where they grew up. Some people are very comfortable and others absolutely are not. They just consider it a private affair. The problem is those people never, ever discuss it with anybody. And so it is like an elephant in their room, a room being their mind. It's something that they never address or consider. They take for granted. And until they get to see a naturopath because they're sick or somebody who has a background in nutrition science will starts to examine their diet. This is why we teach our students how to analyze diets. You've got to analyze it first. You have to observe it telescopically. You've got to see what the people are eating without criticism or judgment. Just see it objectively. And then based on what we know about food, start making recommendations, because there's a connection between how people feel and exist and their, you know, behavior and mental health, etc., and food.
Another thing that he talked about personal trainers really need to look after their own personal nutrition. They need to take good care of themselves, how they eat, how they feel, and they need to train themselves because they need to have plenty of energy to continue to do what they do. And we also have to look at this as a lifetime career, and is it sustainable? He talked about planning. It's not just about your clients and looking after their clients. You've got to look after yourself. You better be doing yourself what you're teaching people to do. So, you know, if you, he says he plans his meal plan out for the day. When he gets up in the morning, he has his breakfast and he makes sure that he always has enough food for the day. And let's say his day is going to be a little longer. He has an extra snack. So he always, it's like carrying a big picnic lunch because you don't know if you're going to have enough time to zip out to the store and get something. So you always have to have your meal available, and it's not necessarily a sit-down meal, something you can have on the run, which is not necessarily healthy, but at least you're getting some nutrition in there and some energy in there. So, I mean, it's really important to, like, eat as hard as you train. That's what we talked about. This is another thing that we discussed. So we tell our clients to do this, but are you doing it yourself? And believe me, if the personal trainer, teacher, coach, whatever, is not doing it themselves, believe me, their career is going to suffer. Their clients are going to notice it. Their boss is going to notice it. The gym owner is going to notice it, that they're just not up on it. And they're not going to bring clients to them, or people are not going to want to work with them because these people lack luster. They lack energy. Everybody wants a teacher that's got energy. Now, not necessarily the highest energy where somebody's like banging off the walls, but somebody who has energy and interest in you. And the only way that this teacher is going to have interest in you and care about you as a client is if they have energy themselves. So it's all about self-care when it comes to being a personal trainer or anybody who is working with other people on a healthcare system. Do you understand what I'm saying here, Corey?
Yep.
I know you understand what I'm saying.
Well, people don't see their life as a form of performance. They kind of look at athletes and people that have to perform athletically on the field or go to the gym and work out or physically work. And as a society, you know, all those jobs have been replaced by machines. Most people don't work on a farm. They're not physically working. They're not bricklayers. Of course, there are some examples. There are welders and carpenters out there for sure, but they're in the minority. Most people are sitting in front of a computer today, thousands, millions of us, myself included. So you have to sort of disconnect your mind from the athletic model to you as a person, because I find that until people get into performing in the gym and working out and even competing, all of a sudden they have this renewed interest in food and diet and nutrition. They want to gain weight, lose body fat. They want to perform better. But when it comes to their life besides that, like let's say a person is not into training and not into competing in a sport, they kind of take it all for granted and they kind of don't really have much incentive to focus on nutrition as a science because they're disconnected. They just kind of like do whatever they want and miss meals and eat late or eat on the run or get fast food, and they don't see that as being vital and essential to how they feel and how they perform mentally, physically, and emotionally throughout the day, no matter what they're doing.
Exactly. And he also talked about trainers need trainers. They need to receive as well as give, give, give. So I think we all need that. Sometimes we all need a bit of a pump. We all need, maybe you'd get it from your own personal trainer, a trainer does. Maybe they have a mentor. Maybe they just go and they Google somebody. Maybe they take a yoga class because everybody needs to be nurtured. Maybe they just go talk to mom or dad or grandma or grandpa, but you know, and go to their house for dinner and then they take good care of them. But we all need to be nurtured in some kind of a way. And when we have clients, as a dance teacher, that's exactly what I do. You know, I'm always nurturing my students all the time and taking really, really good care of them. And it's really kind of nice when somebody asks me how I'm doing, because I'm always asking my clients and my students how they're doing. Because at that point, it's not about me. I go in very professionally. And it's always about my students. That's all I think about is my students. Make sure to get your own support system. But it was a wonderful, wonderful two-part interview. And thank you very much, Sylvain. We really, really appreciate it.
Right on. He is the man. Okay, so what's your hot topic?
Okay, well, my hot topic for January 2018 is, did you make your New Year's resolution? So we talk about, and I know that you're a big stickler on this one, Corey, resolutions, goals, targets. You can call it whatever you want. I don't know how popular it is today, you know, about people making their resolutions. I mean, I do have a little bit of social media and people talk about their resolutions. And I posted my New Year's resolution is not to quit anything because nobody likes a quitter, something like that. So anyway, a resolution is the act of resolving or determining upon an action, a course of action, a method or a procedure. A goal is the result of or achievement towards which effort is directed, aim or end. A target is a fixed goal or object. So basically, resolutions, goals, or targets, whatever you want to call them, they're basically the same thing. You write it down, and then you work towards it. And that's what it's all about. So I don't think you need to do it at the beginning of the year, but it's a good start at the beginning of the year. And, you know, I have my things that I like to do, and I usually attain them over the year. And I know that you write them down and then you post them on your wall, Corey, or in the bathroom, or in the bedroom, or in the kitchen. They're all over the place. What you want to do, and you let everybody know you're doing it too, right?
If you're an archer, how do you hit a target without a target? I used to do archery, and you went to the target range, and there was a target. Now, if you had no targets, what would you shoot at? So you've got to have a target. Now, for me, it starts in the mind, and it's generated by enthusiasm and motivation and love. And in this case, it might be a sport. I just finished writing a new course for InfoFit, which is a classroom version now. We've got our original online version, which is going well, but now we have a new classroom version of the CSNA that will be taught by a teacher. Now, I had to achieve an outline, and I had to set some time limitations to it. It had to be done. It took a lot of work and effort, and I enjoyed doing it, but I wanted to do it, and I decided to do it. The New Year resolution thing is my issue, because time's a constant, and it goes back, you know, pre-Big Bang. So this whole idea, when someone says, I am going to start next Thursday, I'm going to quit smoking tomorrow, I am going to start dieting tomorrow, well, right away, I know they're going to fail. Because there is no time except right now. This is all we have. There's no tomorrow. The past is gone. If you want to do something and you're seriously committed, let's see you do it right now. Let's see you do it right now. Stop right now. But also focusing on the negative is another way that we fail constantly, because instead of focusing on what we shouldn't do and our bad habits, I think we need to come to terms with, what does it take for me to get well? Anytime, day or night, what does it take? You know, eating is something you do every day. And more important than achieving a certain goal, I think, at a certain date, is really coming to terms with what you need as a sapient, as a human being, as a creature, as a living thing. What do you need to be well? What do you need to do to be well? What do I need to do right now to be well? And I'm going to start right now. That's kind of how I see it.
Which is, you know, diet, exercise, but it could also be, I need to spend more time with my mother. I need to spend more time with my grandchildren. I need to go to yoga more. I need to spend more time with my friends. I need more time alone. Whatever it is that you need to be well, and it could be a multitude, a myriad of different things. However, one of the things that I've always found, that we found in business or anything that we've wanted to do, it takes 3 times longer than you anticipate, right? Usually, it takes 3 times longer. You say, okay, so Monday to Wednesday, I'm going to do this and this and this. And it usually takes 3 weeks or 3 months or 3 years if it's a long-term goal and something that you really, really want to attain. I mean, it takes time and you have to be patient. And that is something that a lot of us don't have, is patience. But there you go. So think about it. Think about what it is that you want to do, your target, goal, or resolution, and try to make it happen. Try to make it happen this year. Just play a game with yourself and with your mind and see if you can make some of those things happen. And it could be the simplest thing of all. I'm going to make a phone call to one of my friends that I haven't heard from once a week. Once a week, I'm going to do something, or, you know, whatever it may be. But just, you know, so have some fun with it. Okay, that's my hot topic.
Right on. That was a good one. So what's your final word?
My final word is by Albert Einstein. Learn from yesterday, live for today, hope for tomorrow.